We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Two buy, sell, or hold questions for, you know, premises from Ball, P, and Shalala, kind of building on each other. The first part is buy, sell, or hold. Three different Notre Dame quarterbacks see action this year in different packages. Alternative, that three different quarterbacks see action counting garbage time reps. I'm selling the first one, and I'm buying the second one. They'll definitely have three guys take snaps this year. There's no doubt in my mind that they'll have three guys take snaps this year. Do I believe that they'll have three guys take snaps in different packages, meaning like high leverage game situations? I'm selling that one. I think the only way that they have three quarterbacks play in a high leverage situation is if you have two injuries or an injury to one guy and ineffectiveness by another guy. So starting quarterback gets hurt, backup quarterback comes in, he doesn't play well over a period of time. The next guy goes in and he takes meaningful snaps. That's the only way I see them getting to three. And the reason I say that is they don't have the type of quarterback depth they had in the past with like a Tyler Buchner or a Phil Jurkovec or a Brandon Wimbush or a Malik Zaire, where your number two quarterback was a guy that could go in and run and do something different. I don't think you're going to see that. I don't think this team has that. So I'm going to sell that one and buy the second one, because we saw that last year. If you're a good team, you're probably going to have three quarterbacks be on the field at some point in time. Next one is from Tall Many. He's got two of them here. This is the one. All right. This is a good one. Two good ones that kind of go together. Buy, sell, or hold. Notre Dame's Vegas odds of 10.5 regular season wins. So my buy, sell, or holding, 10.5 being the marker for Notre Dame. You know, my dad and I were talking about this the other day, and my dad was really mad at himself because he was gonna bet last year on Notre Dame's Vegas odds. I think it was like 7.5 or 8.5. And he was confident that Notre Dame was going to win at least 9 games last year. and he's still kicking himself for not putting some money down on it. And he's like, I don't know if I'm going to do it this year because 10.5 is a very reasonable number. So basically, in order to win, Notre Dame has to go at least 11-1 to 12-0. That's tougher odds. So I'm buying the premise of the odds being where they are. I think I'm buying it because there's two ways to look at your question. One is, am I buying that that's where the odds should be? And I absolutely think so, that's where the odds should be. I think this is much more representative of the kind of team that Notre Dame is going to have, the kind of talent they have coming back, the kind of talent that's coming into the program from the transfer portal, and also from the standpoint of them being in high school kids that can help. So I'm buying it on that premise. I'm also buying it on I'm taking the overs, basically. So I'm buying it from the premise of, you know, are you buying that Notre Dame is going to go over? If you could look at it that way, I'm buying that as well. 11-1 is my prediction for Notre Dame this year. I just look at their roster and I have a hard time seeing more than one team that can beat them. And so, you know, there's a question that gets into other possibilities later. So I'll answer that. We'll dive more into that one then, but I'm going to take this one now. And then I have a question for somebody in the chat that gave an answer to this. And I'm not sure if they're answering this premise. So before I answer the next one, Nathan Milton, you had a buy and a sell as your answer to this, because there's people in the chat that are giving their buy, sell, or hold opinions. And I love that. I want to see more of that. It's very fascinating to watch those and to see those and to see when you guys agree with me, when you disagree with me. I'm actually enjoying myself looking at those, but I'm curious, Andy Milton fan, do you have a buy that of the 10.5 and you're selling that they're going to host a playoff game? Or are you buying that 10.5 should be the number, but you're selling that Notre Dame will cover 10.5? So I'm very curious what your buy and sell is that one. Or is that just a late response? Are you just behind in the show and you're responding to something else? I'm very curious what the answer is to that one. So you just said yes, my man. Okay, so you're saying you think they're going to go 11-1 or 10-0 or 12-0, but you don't think they're going to host a first-round college football playoff game? I'm curious how that can be, because if Notre Dame's 11-1, there's no way they're not at least an 8 seed. Like, there's no way. There's no way that Notre Dame doesn't host a playoff game if they win more than if they cover that spread. No way. So I'd just be curious why you don't think Notre Dame would host a playoff game if they are. Yeah. So even if they lose an unrated, my man, if Notre Dame is 11-1 and they lose to Navy, but they beat A&M, Florida State, Louisville, and USC, they're still going to be at least an 8 seed. I mean, Clemson in 2017 lost to a 4-8 team and still made the college football playoff. In 2016, Clemson lost to an unranked Pitt team at home and still made the college football playoff. So there's no way that Notre Dame goes 11-1 this year. No way. And is not at least an 8 seed. No way. With that being said, that's also why I'm buying the second one, because if I have Notre Dame being at least 11-1, then I'm definitely buying that Notre Dame will host a first-round college football playoff game. So definitely. I say if Notre Dame 11-1, I'll be shocked if they're anything lower than the 5 seed. I think the lowest they go in that scenario is 6 in that committee, so in that situation. So I absolutely believe. And I'm also going to disagree with the premise that if Notre Dame goes 10-2 this year, guys, there's no way, unless they have just terrible losses, I don't think there's any way Notre Dame's not one of the 12. I don't. And somebody just said that the College Football Playoff Committee is going to screw Notre Dame. I don't know how many times I can say this, folks. The College Football Playoff Committee has been very, very favorable to Notre Dame for years. For years. The only time that Notre Dame doesn't get a higher ranking is in years where maybe their way out and they've got to manipulate Notre Dame to help one of the teams that's getting in. But anytime Notre Dame is good, the playoff committee, it loves all Notre Dame. Heck, Notre Dame finishes the 5 seed 2 years ago and they went 11-1 and had zero wins over ranked opponents. And the committee had Notre Dame at 5. So this notion that Notre Dame fans have that the playoff committee is going to screw them over, if that happens, that'll be the first time that happens. that'll be the first time it happens. Now, 10-2 Notre Dame may not host a playoff game, and that's very possible. Or 10-2 Notre Dame may not host a playoff game, but they'll be in. They'll certainly be in. There's no question about it, in my opinion.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, let's get to the next one. Buy, sell, or hold from PA Irish Guy or Irish Guy 23. Notre Dame will have a DB with 5 or more interceptions. I'm going to buy that. And then there's a follow-up buy, sell, or hold from Ball Peen Shalala on that I'll just kind of go with now. I put these two together for that reason. One of Christian Gray or Jaden Mickey carries the torch and has 5+ interceptions in the 2024 season. Absolutely buy both of those, because if Notre Dame has a guy that has more than 5 interceptions, 5 or more interceptions, I do believe it will be one of those two guys. It could also potentially be, the other guy could be, is like a Rod Hurd. I could also see Rod Hurd being that guy as well. That would be the only caveat to me full go buying the second one, because if Jaden Mickey and Christian Gray are splitting a lot of snaps, then one of them neither of them may get enough opportunities to get to 5. But I think that they're going to get tested a lot. I could see Xavier Watts getting over 5 again, but I think it's going to be a scenario where they just don't challenge Benjamin Morrison a ton. They don't challenge Xavier Watts a ton, and that leads somebody else an opportunity to get to 5. I could also, but again, I'm buying it on the second one, but I do think that there's a chance that it could be a Rod Hurd or a Don Shuler that ends up being that guy. So I could definitely see that. And I do think that Notre Dame will have someone with five interceptions this year. Xavier had seven last year. I think Notre Dame's going to force a lot of interceptions this year. I do. I think when I look at the quarterbacks that they play this season, I look at the offenses that they play this season, I look at what I think of their pass rush, I look at what I just think this team is capable of, I think they're going to force a lot of interceptions this season. I do. And five is a good number, but they've had in each of the last 2 years, they've had one guy with at least six. And I think that streak continues in 2024. So I'm going to buy that one as well. Walk on, carry on, 78. Buy, sell, or hold. Gearby Lambert is starting at right tackle by game five. I'm going to sell that. I'm not as down on the right tackle position as some others right now, but I'm also going to choose to be optimistic today. And the way that Emil Wagner played in the blue-gold game, even though he didn't play that great in the scrimmage before from what I could see, and even though I'm still not sold on him being a guy that can take the reins snap after snap after snap, I think game five might be a little bit too soon for Kirby Lambert to take over. I mean, look, Joe Alt didn't take over till like game seven, six or seven in 2021, and they had three left tackles get injured. That was a much worse situation for me. So I could see Gerby starting next year. It would surprise me if it's by game five. I will say this, however. Here's my double optimistic take. If Gerby Lambert is starting by game five next year, and it's not injury-related, it's because he's phenomenal. Because I don't think those other two tackles are going to play that poor that you're going to feel the need to put him in by game five. So if he's playing by game five, it means he came in and got going real, real fast. Second one from DJ. Buy, sell, or hold. Jordan Faison will have a breakout year and give up lacrosse for 2025. I'm going to sell that one. I think Jordan Faison is going to continue to be a key part of the Notre Dame football team. He's a good football player. But I just don't see him being the guy. And I think he would have to be the guy for him to even think about giving up lacrosse. Because the reality is there's just no need for him to give up lacrosse this early. If he gave up lacrosse in as a senior, because let's say as a senior at Notre Dame's football team, he jumps up and he has the kind of year where it's like, hey, man, you got a chance to go play in the National Football League. But you've got to really lock in and improve in this area, that area, whatever. And he's getting that kind of feedback. Then I could maybe see it where he doesn't play lacrosse in his senior year at Notre Dame. But I don't see any scenario where he doesn't play lacrosse next year because of a breakout. The only way that I could see that is if he just gets hurt. I don't see a scenario where he gives up lacrosse, nor should he. A receiver is the one position more than any other where I think guys playing two sports makes a lot of sense. And especially lacrosse for reasons we've discussed in past shows. Floating Irish had a couple here, so I want to get to those. Buy, sell, or hold. Notre Dame will have victories over two 10-win teams by the end of the regular season on their resume. I'm buying that. I think there's multiple teams that have a chance to be 10-plus win teams this year. I think that Miami of Ohio has a chance to be a 10-plus win team this year. They won 11 last year, so I think 10 is possible for them. This season, I think Louisville, once again, could have a chance to be a 10-plus win team. I think Florida State will be a 10-plus win team. I think USC will have a chance to be a 10-win team. Not as optimistic about them as I am some others, but I think that's a shot. So, yes, I think Notre Dame will beat two teams with 10-plus wins. The Big Ten, here's the second one, buy, sell, or hold. The Big Ten will have more teams in the playoff than the SEC. That is a tougher one. So as I'm looking forward to the potential college football playoff, I think Ohio State will be a playoff team. I think one of Penn State or Michigan is going to still be really good and be a playoff team. And then I think one of the teams that's new to the league will make the playoff. Oregon is my bet for right now. Although I could see USC surprising some people and being good, really good again this year. SEC, I think Georgia's going to make it. I think that Ole Miss is going to have a really good shot to make it. I think Alabama's still going to have a really good shot to make it. And then after that, it's okay. It really comes down to Does Michigan stay on track from what they were? And Penn State still good? And that's how you get to four in the Big Ten? Is it a scenario where and that's how they have more, and then there's a couple teams in the SEC where they just kind of beat each other up? Because of just the traditional SEC teams, I can see three of them making it just from the traditional SEC teams, Georgia and Alabama and Ole Miss. I could see three of those making it. Then you have two teams coming in from the Big 12 in Texas and Oklahoma, who I also think could make it. So I see two of the traditional Big Ten teams making it. That's my prediction. Ohio State and one of Penn State or Michigan. And then one of the new teams making it. With the SEC, I see three traditional of the SEC teams making it. Whether it be, I think Georgia's a no-brainer. I think Bama's going to have a shot to be a playoff team again. And then one of Ole Miss, maybe LSU, Tennessee has a breakout with Nico as their quarterback. One of those three teams making it as the third traditional SEC team. And then I think one of the newcomers will make it. And my bet on that is Texas, obviously. But I could see Oklahoma maybe breaking out a little bit too. So I just think it's going to be more for the SEC. I've said this for a while. Michigan was excellent last year. Ohio State was a really good football team last year. Penn State was overrated. The year before, Ohio State and Michigan were both really good football teams. I was fine with both of them making the playoff from the standpoint of their playoff caliber. I had some issues with some things that year, but they were both playoff contenders. But after that, it was the Big Ten has been super top heavy for a while now, where there's like two good teams in the league, three at the most, whereas the SEC is going to have more. And the reality is that league's just going to get more of the benefit of the doubt when things are close. So that's why I'm going sell on that, because I think the SEC is going to have more. I do. I think they're going to have more. It's a good premise, though, because I really had to think about it and talk through it. And those are my favorite kinds to do in this type of scenario. So let's get to some more. We got two from John A1, buy, sell, or hold. And this is the one I was referring to earlier. If Emil Wagner and Charles Jagasol are the top OTs on the roster in 2024, Emil Wagner should be left tackle and Jagasol right tackle. I'm going to sell that because you can make a case, John, that from the blue gold game, and I know that you were very high on how Emil played in the blue gold game. And as you all saw early when I was giving you the little snapshot of the breakdown I did, Emil graded out as the top offensive lineman on the blue squad from a doing your job snap after snap standpoint. Billy Shrouth was more impressive to me overall, but I thought Emil did a really, really good job of just do your job snap after snap after snap. And that's important. But do I trust Emil Wagner to now all of a sudden be my blindside protector quarterback? No, I don't. And the other problem that I have with Emil is when Charles gets beat, he gets beat wide. He doesn't get driven back into the quarterback. At least I haven't seen that yet. When Emil gets beat, when Tosh gets beat, a lot of times it's guys get under their pads, get him on skates, and drive him into the quarterback. As a former quarterback, that my ACL, I can just feel it cringing right now when I think about my left tackle getting driven back into my backside. It's a dangerous premise, and I just wouldn't trust that from them. Could I see a scenario where Emil plays so well that he forces the staff to make that move? It's possible. It's possible. I just don't see it. I still think Charles Jagasol gives this team their best chance at left tackle. And I'll have more on Jagasol's performance from the blue gold game. I don't think it was as bad as some people are making it out to be. There's some technical things that he has to fix. That's the problem. It's not lack of foot quickness or agility. I've seen him do it quickly in that game. There's some technical things he has from going from hand to hand with his feet get out of whack. And that causes him to kind of take some awkward pause that then allows guys to beat him outside. It's something that can be fixed. And I think it will be fixed. So I think I'm going to sell that. His other buy-seller hold, Deon Colsey and Jaden Thomas won't be in the six-man rotation in 2024. So I got to buy it in that they both won't be in it. And I'm going to assume that it's a buy for meaning both of them. So if one of them's in it, then it's still, you know, obviously your premise is that it still would be a sell. If I think one of them's going to be in it, I'm selling it. I'd have to think they're both going to be out of it. So we know Greathouse is going to be in it. I'm quite confident that Chris Mitchell is going to be in it. I'm quite confident that one of Jordan Faison and Jaden Harrison is going to be in it. I'm quite confident that Bo Collins is going to be in it. So now the question is, does Jaden Thomas and Deion Colsey both stay at Notre Dame, number one? And then if they do both stay at Notre Dame, are both of them going to be ahead of KK Smith and Micah Gilbert and Cam Williams and the third of the slots in Harrison or Gilbert? I'm going to sell it, John, because I think one of them will. I think one of them will stay and be in the six-man rotation, just assuming good health. If you force me to pick both in or both out, I would argue right now that this is a guess, that there's a better chance that both are out than both are in. That would be my takeaway on that one. So very, very good question, John. Very good question. Part of me wanted to hold and say, let's see what happens when the portal closes, but I don't want to hold that much, and so I'm going to go ahead and give you my answer now. Mark Smooks has four buy-seller holds. Number one, buy-seller hold. Notre Dame wins at least 11 regular season games. I'm going to buy that. Number two, Notre Dame makes the semifinal playoff game. I am in a good mood today. I'm going to buy that one. Three, Notre Dame wins a semifinal playoff game. I'm selling that one because I still need to see that this team can go to that point. As excited as I am about what this team can be, there's still just too many teams out there that have proven they can win in those scenarios that Notre Dame has not proven that they can win in those scenarios. I mean, no, guys, for me, Notre Dame has not even proven they can beat top teams in the regular season, much less in the postseason. Is Notre Dame capable of winning a semifinal game? Absolutely. Is Notre Dame capable on number four of winning the championship? Absolutely. When I look at the makeup of their roster, I think they absolutely can. But they've got so much to prove before I can say I'm buying those two things. So I'm absolutely buying 11 wins regular season. I'm absolutely buying them winning two games, because here's the way I look at it. If they're 11-1, I think they're at worst a 6-5. I think they're a 5 seed. That's what I think, because of the challenging nature of the Big Ten and SEC schedules. So I think they're 5. If they're five, that means in the second round on a neutral field, they're playing the 4 seed. The 4 seed, in my opinion, will most likely be a team that's not as good as Notre Dame. So it'll either be the ACC champ or the Big 12 champ. It won't be the number 2 Big Ten or the number 2 SEC. It'll be ACC champ or the Big 12 champ, or even potentially the AAC champ, potentially, although I think that's less likely. So now you're in a situation where they're playing the Big 12 champ, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Baylor, Utah, somebody like that, or they're playing the ACC champ, Clemson, Florida State, somebody like that, Miami. And I like Notre Dame in all those matchups. So that gets them to the semis. Now it's Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. No, not Penn State, because I'd take Notre Dame. That's a bad example. Oregon, Texas, Bama, Georgia, a team like that. That's now where Notre Dame has to go prove that they can win that type of game, and they just haven't done that in a long time. So I'm selling that one for now. I'm going to sell the number four for now. Maybe hold might be a better example, because the counter could be, well, if they win the first two, that's going to give them enough momentum and excitement to win the semis, or confidence to win the semis, and that's fair. But I think in the first two games are most likely going to be against inferior opponents. So maybe hold's a better one for 3 and 4. But I'm definitely buying the first two. Definitely buying the first two.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Your mom's calling with two buy-seller holds. First one, Notre Dame will have four or more receivers with 100-yard games. I'm going to cheat a little bit on this one and say four players, not just receivers. If it's just four wide receivers, I'd probably sell that, although not confidently. If it's four total players, I'm definitely buying. Because I think Jeremiah Love is going to have a 100-yard game this year. I think a tight end is going to have a 100-yard game this year. And I think at least two receivers are going to have 100-yard games. I'd say even three. So I'm going to buy it in both instances, total or receivers. But I'm a little less on board with saying four different receivers will have 100-yard games this season. And then the second buy-seller hold from your mom's calling, Notre Dame will be hosting an SEC team in the playoff this year. Boy, I would love that. That would be great. I'm going to sell that because I think most likely what you're going to have is, you know, you're going to have a big second Big 12 team or a second ACC team or, maybe a Big 10, a third or fourth Big 10 team, most likely. I think the one thing that I could see the committee doing is I could see the committee being a little reluctant of sending a Southern team up to Notre Dame. I think what they may do is like maybe flip, you know, a Northern team and with that, you know, maybe put like the third or fourth Big Ten team in there and do something that way. That's where I think the committee could maybe finagle some stuff is something like that. I could see that. So I'm going to sell that, but I hope I'm wrong on that one. I really do. We have a buy-seller hold from the five Burkhart boys. Excuse me. I know how to say that one. I grew up with some people named that. Burkhart, Burkholders. His one is Riley Mills throws for more yards than Sam Hartman. I'm absolutely buying that. Absolutely buying that. And I'm just going to say in 12 games, let's just take it this way, because I think Riley Leonard's, if he's healthy, is going to play. And I didn't correct the spelling on Riley on that one. That's on me. But I'm saying in 12 games, let's say Riley Leonard's healthy for 12 games. I absolutely believe he's going to throw for more than 2,689 yards. Absolutely believe it. Absolutely believe it. I think he'll be closer to at least 2,900 at least in the regular season. So I'm absolutely buying that one. And P, Irish guy with the same one as the one before. Notre Dame will have four or more receivers with 100-yard games. And I'm gonna sell that one. I'm going to buy that one, excuse me. Future Domer Dad, KVA will be a starter by season's end. I'm gonna go hold on that one. I want to see what happens in the portal this year with Notre Dame of who stays and who goes before I answer that one. I'm leaning towards buying it. Because I could just see a scenario where at some point in time this year, he and Drake Bowen are starting together. I could also see a scenario where somebody gets hurt and he's saying. So I'm going to hold for now, and I want to see what happens in the portal before I fully answer that one. John, I don't know why those bottom ones, I'm sorry, I kept messing those up. That's my fault. on those because I had John Varvel having the same question. So let me find John's question here. And I am sorry that I messed that up, John. I'm going to go try to find that. I got the message board open. So let me go see if I can find John's question here real quick. So it's Control F is a beautiful thing on a computer. Helps you find things pretty quickly. Give me a second. Here is John's question. And again, I apologize for not having this correct on the screen. But John's question is, Notre Dame will win a championship with CJ Carr. That was John's actual question. Notre Dame will win a championship with CJ Carr. I'm going to be short and sweet on that one. I'm going to buy it. I think I've said, because here's why. This isn't even about the CJ Carr hype train that's going on right now, which is deserved. He's incredibly talented. He's a great kid. He's, you know, all those things. I'm buying it because I have said that I think Notre Dame's going to win a championship in the next 3 to 4 years. I don't know that it's going to be this year. We'll see. It's too early for me to really be on that hype train just yet. It's still only April. Maybe I might be there by August. I'll probably wait until September 1st to really be on that train. Of course, as you, for those that don't quite know the schedule down pat, August 31st is the A&M game. So I may wake up on September 1st feeling that way. But I just feel that Notre Dame program is heading in a direction where they're going to win a title in the next 3 or 4 years. I fully expect that by no later than 2025, CJ Carr is going to be starting quarterback. So, yeah, I think he'll win a championship. So I'm going to buy that one. And I think he'll be part of it, but I don't think he's going to have to carry the team the way that past quarterbacks have been required to do that if Notre Dame is going to win a championship. Christopher Crosby, buy, sell, or hold. Preston Zenner is a very talented young player in a very loaded room. Buy, sell, hold, that he ends up at Viper. For what it's worth, I like that move a lot more than moving Junior there. I tend to agree with you. I'm gonna buy that, Christopher. I'm going to buy that. I contemplated selling it at first because my gut reaction is that he's going to move, but it would be to tight end. But I'm going to buy that because I don't love Viper recruiting. They have already made some very puzzling personnel moves on the defensive line, like already moving Cole Mullins into defensive tackle, who barely weighs 240 pounds. It just makes – and then putting him ahead of Brendan Vernon. I just think that's an absolutely ridiculous move. And so I just – there's just so many puzzling, head-scratching things that by next year I could see a scenario where – Jordan Patejo and Junior Tuilamaka are not here anymore, or at least not a Viper. Patejo will be gone, but I could see a situation where Tuilamaka is like, they got to move him to Big End because he can't play Viper. So I would say buy it because I don't know that they're recruiting a Viper. Even if they go to the portal and get a Viper, it's Bubakar and the portal guy. You still would need a third to play, and I could see Preston Zenner being that guy. I don't believe Notre Dame wants to lose him. From what I'm told, they value him quite a bit. He's just on a, like you said, he's on a loaded room. So I could see that. And I, you know, he's 6'3", he's athletic, he's got long frame. He doesn't need to gain a ton of weight to be able to play that in certain situations. So I'm going to buy that one, Christopher. I'm going to buy that one. Notre Dame 2164, one of the OGs. Cam Williams finds his groove and plays significant time at receiver sometime this year. I'm definitely buying that one. I'll be very surprised if Cam Williams is not part of the rotation at some point in time this season. Very surprised. Here's one from PA Irish Guy 23. Christian Gray is Notre Dame's best cornerback this season. I am selling that. I think Christian Gray is incredibly talented. I think you could make a case that Christian Gray would be their most physically gifted cornerback this year. I definitely think you can make that case. I just don't see Benjamin Morrison not being their best corner. I don't think it's nuts to say what you said, PA Irish Guy. I understand it, but I think there's a chance that Benjamin Morrison could be the best cornerback in college football this year. I think it's him and Will Johnson are the two best corners in college football. So I'd be shocked if he's not Notre Dame's best corner. And if he's not, Andy, it's either A, he's injured, and maybe this is behind your premise, or B, Christian Gray is even better than we thought. Where I have said in the past, I think Christian Gray as a sophomore could be better than Benjamin Morrison was as a sophomore. Maybe. I don't see a scenario in which Christian Gray as a sophomore is better than Benjamin Morrison as a junior. That one I don't see. Buy, sell, or hold. We have from Lou Holtz's grandson had two of them. He said, number one, Rocco Spindler will develop into an elite guard. I'm going to sell that. I think Rocco has a very good chance of starting. I think based on what I saw this spring, he absolutely should be the starter based on what we've seen. As long as Rocco puts in the work this offseason and stays in same shape he's in, or maybe gets a little bit better and goes out and maximizes his potential as a player, he absolutely should be starting for Notre Dame. I very much liked what I saw from Rocco in the spring game. Pat Coogan struggled mightily. I've said it before, last year, Pat Coogan, or Rocco at his best, was significantly better than Pat at his best, but there just was too much up and down from Rocco. But even if Rocco maximizes his potential and plays to the best of his ability for 12 games and is consistent and steady with moments of dominance, I still don't think he's elite. I think he could be very good. I think he could be part of an elite offensive line, but I don't think he's an elite player. And when I think elite, I think Liam Eichenberg, All-American, obviously, recently. I think of Joe Alt, All-American, recently. I think of Ronnie Stanley. I think of Quentin Nelson. I think of Mike McGlinchey, 2017. I think of those guys. When I think of Rocco Spindler, I think more along the lines of, what Alex Bars was in 2017. I think more along the lines of what Aaron Banks was in 2020, what Robert Hainsey was in 2020. I think more along the lines of those guys. Nick Martin, where pretty good player, but not elite. A guy that's going to get drafted, but not elite. So, no, I don't see that. His second buy-seller hold is CJ Carr will be a Heisman-level quarterback at some point. I'm going to hold that for now because the kid has not played a single snap of college football. And I'm not trying to Beano Cook the kid, right? I'm not. And I'm just not going to be in a situation where I'm going to say, yes, he will be. Do I think – I'll go back to what I said before. Do I think CJ Carr is an elite talent? Yeah, I do. Do I think CJ Carr can be an elite player at Notre Dame? Yeah, I do. Do I think Notre Dame could win a championship with CJ Carr? Yeah, I do. If all those things turn out to be true, will he be a Heisman-level quarterback? Yeah, sure. In that case, he will. But I just had – so I can do 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, but I'm just not quite ready to buy that one because I feel like that's unfair of me to put that kind of thing on a kid who has yet to take a snap of college football. I'm excited to see what CJ can do. I think the sky's the limit for CJ Carr and this program, but I just want to pump the brakes a little bit on the kid so we don't get too carried away and just completely Beano Cook him. I just don't want to see that. I just don't want to see that where he can then never, like, we got to be careful to not go so far down the hype train with CJ that we make it impossible for him to ever live up to expectations. And that's my concern. That's my concern. Irish Mosaic, given the penalties Arizona State just received for their violations of the COVID restrictions, would you buy, sell, or hold that Michigan will receive the same level of penalties? I'm selling that. I don't think Michigan will get the same level of penalties because I think Michigan will get some. I think Michigan will get put on probation, which means nothing really. I think Michigan will have some sort of scholarship reduction. I think Michigan, which they'll get around easily with in-state kids and NIL stuff. They'll be able to get around that. I think they'll have some sort of – I could see them doing some sort of games that they have to vacate from 2022. I could see all that. I don't see any scenario in which the NCAA has the guts to put them on probation and then keep them out of the postseason. I don't see any kind of bowl ban happening, which is what Arizona State got. They can't be in the postseason of 2023. I don't see any scenario in which Michigan has to vacate the 2023 season. I don't. So I believe Michigan will get some things that happened, and look, Antoine, I know you're a Michigan fan, but man, you gotta at least be honest about what happened is not nothing. If Ohio State did exactly what Michigan was accused of, you would not say it's a nothing burger. I just don't think you would. Do I think the NCAA is going to force them to give up the 23 championship, vacate games in 23? No way. Do I think the NCAA is going to force them to miss the postseason? No way. No way. I don't see any scenario in which that happens to a team like Michigan. No, don't see it. Now, here's what I could see happening. Let's say Michigan just kind of falls apart this year. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just making a hypothetical. Let's say they fall apart this year and they're like 4-6 or 4-7 and they're not bowl eligible. I could see the NCAA randomly just coming out like, here's our ruling. We're going to do this to Michigan and they can't be in the postseason in 2023-4. I could see something like that, but I just don't think, look, they did that to Arizona State because they're Arizona State. Let's be real about that. And because it's related to COVID and the perception, especially amongst, we'll get into this, but there's still a perception about COVID that I don't think should be about COVID that makes the perception of what they did to be worse than what Michigan did. And to a degree, I do think there's some merit to it. Anyone that's known me since 2020 knows my opinion about COVID and the things that we did and whether we should or shouldn't have done them. But what Arizona State is accused of is if the experts were right about COVID and it was as dangerous as a lot of people thought in 2020, I'm not trying to argue that point. I'm really not. But I'm saying if we took what the general consensus was in 2020 about COVID, it was incredibly irresponsible for an institution to be sneaking kids onto campus. Incredibly irresponsible to be having kids coming and going and doing things like that, right? Like just incredibly irresponsible. And so I do think it's worse from that standpoint. Take my opinion of the whole thing out of it, of what I think COVID was or is, what I think we should or should not have done, is completely irrelevant. If you go back to 2020 and what the rules were and what a lot of people thought COVID was and all that type of stuff, the fact that they were doing what they were doing was really bad. Because if people were right about what COVID was then, you're literally putting people's lives at risk by bringing people onto campus and some of the different things that were going on. I don't think they were. That's a different conversation though. And so that's why I think that's definitely different than you had some guy stealing signals from the other team. That's cheating. That's giving you an unfair advantage. That's quite a different deal than what Arizona State was accused of. And in my opinion on that, even though I don't necessarily agree with the premise of those things, that's still the reality of how the perception of the people handing down the punishment is going to be what I just said. And so that's why I do think that you're going to see a much different view, look at that, in my view. All right, let's get to some more here. Buy, seller holds. Okay. All right, there we go. I'm trying to, this is, okay, it's really funny how this is going. Okay, Cousin Eddie's mobile home. Buy, seller hold. Notre Dame fills all positions of need. Also, that they make a deep playoff run. I'm going to buy both. I mean, fill all positions of need, I assume, with the roster. I think they'll get a cornerback to help fill that depth chart. I think that's really the only place right now, oh, yeah, definitely need to get a guy. Punter, I think they'll get a guy as a non-skill position. So, yeah, I think they'll fill all those needs. And do I think they'll make a deep playoff run? I just said earlier in one that I think Notre Dame, I bought on Notre Dame hosting a playoff game and winning and getting the semis. And I can, if you get to the semis in today's era, that's a deep playoff run. That's a successful playoff run. So I'm gonna buy both of those. And then Ram Cray 75 says Marcus Freeman will finally get Notre Dame over the hump by beating a top 10 ranked Florida State and winning a playoff game this year. So I like where you're going with that one. So you're not saying beating a top 10 opponent or beating Florida State, you're saying that you're going to beat a top 10 Florida State team, which Notre Dame has not done, right, since 1993. So, and win a playoff game, which obviously they didn't do in 1993. So I'm going to buy both of those because I do think Florida State's going to be a top 10 team this year. I'm very high on Florida State this season. I could be wrong on that, but I am. I think Notre Dame will beat them. So that's two. And then I am going to buy on winning a playoff game this year. So yes. Yes, I am going to buy on that. Okay, let's – I'm okay, Riker Ferg with buy, sell, or hold. First one, Coach D will recommit to the to be a forever fan of the Broncos. I'm going to sell this one, and there, but I'm not selling with conviction because I'm not going to lie. I've been a Broncos fan literally for 40 years. And while I'm upset with where the team is now and have been for years, and they're just like a joke. I mean, they really are. Just the things they're doing are just a joke. But at the end of the day, you know, if John Elway comes back and is part of the organization again, and if they make some moves that I like and they realize the uniforms are just absolutely hideous. And I mean, are there some things that I could come back to being a Broncos fan again? Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I could. Do I feel like that's possible right now? No, I definitely don't. I really don't. But we'll see. We'll see. But I'm going to sell that one for now. But I'm not saying with a great amount of conviction. And then his second one, buy, sell, or hold, is Xavier Watts will be a first-round pick in the 2025 NFL draft. I'm going to sell that one, but not because I don't think Xavier Watts could be the best safety in next year's draft class. I think it's possible. We'll see. I mean, there's some good safeties in next year's draft class. You know, I think the kid from Georgia, I believe, is going to be in the draft class next year. Thank you. And so, but it's just also safety is just not, it's not a position where you've seen a lot of guys get drafted in the first round anymore. So I he could be the best safety in the draft class next year and fall to 35, 40, or second best safety in the draft class and fall that far as well. So I'm just not going there. I'm going to look at it from the standpoint of him being a little shorter than Kyle Hamilton. He's not as big as Kyle Hamilton, obviously, and some of the freak things Kyle Hamilton could do. He'd have to run real fast, in my opinion. If Xavier Watts goes out there and runs a 4.47 and, you know, measures in around 6 foot plus and all that, it's possible. It's possible. I'm going to sell it for now just because of the nature of the position he plays. But at the very least, he's a day two, barring injury, he's a day two player next year, in my opinion. Absolutely. And again, unless he's better than Kyle Hamilton, but here's the thing. Coleman Beavers asked, and this is a fair response, unless he's better than Kyle Hamilton and asked even if he wins the Nagurski Award again this year. Yeah, because that doesn't have anything to do with it's a fair question, but that doesn't have anything to do with the NFL draft. You know, I mean, he could win the Nagurski Award and still go out and be a guy that gets picked in the third round. If the measurables aren't there, if the speed's not there and those type of things, that doesn't have anything to do with it. I mean, Pat Fitzgerald was a two-time winner of the award, right? Where was he drafted coming out of high school? Does anybody know? Does anyone know? I don't think he was drafted. Yeah. Pat Fitzgerald won the award twice and he went undrafted in 1997. He was a two-time Nagurski Award winner as the best player in college football. He's the best linebacker in college football 2 years in a row, and he went undrafted. It doesn't really have a lot to do with it. It doesn't have a lot to do with it. So, no, I don't think so. All right, let's go back to the buy, sell, or hold questions. We got one from Spark5219. Buy, sell, or hold. Notre Dame only loses one game this year before the playoff, and it won't be against Texas A&M. I'm buying that wholeheartedly because if they lose to Texas A&M, I don't see a scenario where they run the table because it would show that there's some flaws with this football team that someone else will exploit at some point in time. If they're a team that can lose to A&M, then between Louisville, USC, Florida State, Florida State, USC, probably the only three. One of those three teams will beat them. It's kind of like last year. Notre Dame was a good enough team to blow out 8 of the 9 teams that they won. I mean, we've talked about this before, but go look at Notre Dame's success last year. When Notre Dame played well, they didn't just win. They destroyed people. I mean, the Duke game was competitive. They won that by a touchdown, but they beat Navy by 39, Tennessee State by 53, NC State by 21, Central Michigan by 24, USC by 28, Pitt by 51, Wake Forest by 38, Stanford by 33, and Oregon State by 32. I mean, they destroyed people. But when they weren't on, they just played poorly against inferior teams. That's just the reality of it. They played poorly against an inferior Louisville team. They played poorly against an inferior Clemson team who was missing eight starters in that game. So if Notre Dame is still the same talented but flawed team as last year, they'll be better than they were last year. They'll be 10-2. They'll, you know, and against what I think is going to be a slightly tougher schedule top to bottom. Last year it was better at the top. This year I think it'll be better top to bottom than it was last year. So they'll be a better team because they're more talented and they're going to be coached better. But if they're still that same flawed team that can't show up every week, then they'll lose the second game. If they beat Texas A&M, it's because they're getting closer to being the team they're capable of. Now in that situation, the three teams that I talked about, they'll go at worst 2-1 against them, and I don't see them losing to anybody that's not good. Like, here's the one thing last year showed us. Notre Dame still has to learn to play play better against teams that are somewhat on their level. Ohio State last year, Duke last year before all their injuries. Because people forget, Duke was beating Florida State in the second half last year before Riley Leonard got hurt. And then that's when Florida State came back and won. That was a really good Duke team before all the injuries. But Ohio State, Duke, Louisville, USC, Clemson were all somewhat on Notre Dame's level to some degree. Notre Dame went to NC State. I'll put them in there as well. Notre Dame went 3-3 against those teams and barely won one of the three that they won. They had to come from behind late in the game, score a touchdown, and do all that. And I just the reality is the teams that weren't on their level, they destroyed everyone. And they even destroyed two of the teams that were on their level in USC and NC State. When I look at this year's schedule, I see A&M potentially being that team. I see Louisville potentially being one of those teams. I see Florida State being one of those teams. And I see USC being one of those teams. I don't think that there's anyone beyond that. Now, last year, Notre Dame wasn't as talented as I think they're going to be this year. So that's why there's fewer teams, even though I just got done saying this year's a tougher schedule than what last year's was, just looking at the quality of the opponents, not relative to Notre Dame. This Notre Dame team is going to be more talented than they were last year. So I think there's only four teams that have the talent to beat them if they have an off day. Whereas last year, there was more than that. And so I feel like if they beat A&M, there's only three other teams that have the potential to do that. I think they go at least 2-1 against those teams. And then I don't see them losing a game to an inferior opponent the way that they did in 22 and that they've done in past years. So that's why I say beat A&M. 11-1 is the floor for me. And so that's why I'm buying. A long, long, long-winded way of saying buy. But I wanted to explain why that was the case.